Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we have Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us, clinical psychologist, author of a book called The Available Parent, and his podcast is called Undue Anxiety. What did you call him? I said Tom Mikaitis was the human Prozac. What did you call Dr. Duffy?
Dr. Duffy is the human Flintstones chewable. And I don't say that about everybody, John, but I consider you to be that.
I consider it an enormous compliment. I'll
sure.
take it.
One a day. That's it. One a day.
All right. Kids are back to school. I have one that started college, a community college, one that started high school. And Bill, one of yours left today to go back to school. How are you?
Kylie left this morning, and I'm not good.
Yeah.
I'm not. It really, you know, all summer long, the four of us, we went out to dinner almost every night, the four of us. And it's like a car that's now missing a wheel.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Jeez,
yeah.
Bill.
It really
you
is.
Poor sweet thing.
You need all four wheels to make the car
Kevin,
drive smoothly.
Kevin, hug him.
And I really should be better at this because I went through this last year with both Reese and Kylie.
And they came home
in one piece.
Is it harder on the parents than the kids?
I think it's harder on the parents than the kids by a lot. I think part of it is the thought that you just said, Bill. I really should be better at this.
Yeah.
I think we kind of judge ourselves like, you know, geez, my kid's in pretty good shape. They're moving along. This is the right, the natural course of things. This is what I want for her.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I feel bad for me a little bit because I'm going to miss that fourth wheel on the car, you know? So I think a lot of it is just like, what are we going to do now? You know what I mean? Like, how do I regroup? And am I allowed to kind of grieve this? Or is it preposterous because a lot of people have it worse and some kids are in worse shape than mine?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to really recognize, like, I get to acknowledge my feelings. I get to grieve a little bit. And then I have to move on. Because I always worry about parents where if they're still stuck in it 1 or 2 weeks in, then I'm thinking like, okay, we're a little stuck in the grief zone here. And we've got to get past that and move on and think about what's next and celebrate where our kids are. But for these first few days where you are now, I think it's completely reasonable because it's such a mixed bag of feelings, right?
Yeah.
Because I can imagine you're excited for her to some extent, right?
I'm so excited and proud. I'm so proud of both of them,
yeah.
You know, for what they're pulling off. But It was last night during dinner. Everybody was making a speech about, you know, the highlights of the summer, and I'm not allowed to because they know that I'll start to cry.
Dad,
we're not going to let you because last year I just made an idiot of myself.
Right. Yeah, I do find that it's unpredictable too. Who's going to be most upset? You know, I can think of myself and some other dads who I know who prepared mom for months that, you know, this is going to be hard to send them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes pulling away from campus, it's dad who pulls over to the side of the road and falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That makes sense.
So I think we all have to recognize like this is going to affect us all in some ways. I think part of it is kind of like what we're losing in our life, you know, like, oh, I'm not younger than I used to be. I've got a senior in college,
right.
You know, like, what does that mean? Like, how many more passages do I have before it's all over?
Yeah.
And so we start to kind of take stock of our lives unconsciously and think like, geez, this is kind of weird for me because, you know, I've been raising kids for 20 years and now what, you know?
But what you just said is really the basis of so much of our lives is why do I get so emotional? We talked a lot about Tom Skilling crying as the eclipse took place the other day. And I'm trying to analyze what it was exactly that set him off.
Right.
But we talked about this. I cried when the Cubs and the White Sox won the World Series. You cry at the silliest things. So I'm thinking to myself, life is going according to plan. We knew when we had kids that they would go away to college.
Absolutely.
This is no shock.
Right. And I think just to take a little bit of a left turn, I think we think we're not supposed to get emotional about things, you know, like crying about the World Series, crying during a certain song when it comes on the air, you know, certain things just get to us. And I think it's okay.
You mean Seasons in the Sun, don't you?
Of course I do.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you said it. Yeah.
And if we don't let ourselves feel what we feel, we're bottling something up. And I don't think it's very natural. And I don't think it's very good modeling for kids. You know, I really don't, especially as guys.
Yeah.
I think we guys have to be willing to show how we feel about things.
You know, I love seeing the sensitive side of a man. Not all the time. Like, Bill, sometimes you might be a crybaby.
I go too far. I do.
But I think it just shows that we're all human. We're all the same.
Yeah.
We all experience things that make us sad and proud and emotional.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And to your point, Wendy, I think we can overdo that too. And, you know, and then you get the eye roll. You know what I mean? If you're the one who's always bringing the emotion to every table, eventually people get tired of that. There's a fatigue affiliated with that as well. So you want to be able to modulate your own emotions too.
Although I will say this, my little guy tells me I cry too much, which I don't really anymore. I've been, you know, not big problems anymore.
Right.
And sometimes I just get to an overload where it's like, oh, God, you guys, come on. I've made dinner five nights in a row and no one's here at the same time. And I have like a, I'm not hysterical, but Dylan says to me, kids don't like to see their parents cry. You're supposed to be our rock.
But there's
what
something
does that
to
mean?
That. I imagine it's very jarring for most kids. You go, well, there's the most solid person in my life, and they're weeping. What's going on there?
Right, right. No, I agree with that. I think it's probably important not to just stuff it down, unless it's happening every day, but this is
well,
every
then,
5 days. Right. But to explain to your kids, like, okay, this is why I'm upset right now, you know, and let them give them some context for it so they don't just think, like, the sky's falling, you know, because I think that's when kids see their parents upset on a regular basis, they're kind of geared for a crisis anytime, you know, and they don't know what that means. You know, are mom and dad okay? Or is somebody losing their job? Is something going to shake my world
here? They read more into
here?
It, perhaps. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'll stop crying when I break a nail from now on. But no, I've really tried to handle that. And every once in a while, you have just this breakdown moment where it's like, oh, that's it. I got to unload, you know? So it happens.
Well, and that might be good modeling for kids. Just like, hey, you know what? Once in a while, you're going to have a breakdown moment. It's not the end of the world. Go ahead. Let it out.
And you pick yourself up and you move back and everything's fine.
Right. Exactly.
But do you remember like how often when you were a kid, I know you lost your dad early on, but do you remember how often you saw your mom cry?
I never saw her cry.
And like
and that made
in
me think
head.
She wasn't human. And I'm totally kidding. She was really strong. So I think if I saw her cry, it would have really upset me like something terrible was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one thought about that is, you know, I think we all grew up thinking crying was some kind of a sign of weakness, like the showing of emotion. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this woman, Brené Brown. She's a professor down at the University of Houston, and she wrote a book a few years ago called Loving Bravely. And it was just really about like being willing to be vulnerable and out there and how there's strength in that, not weakness. And it kind of turns that whole idea on its head that you're willing to show emotion and there's a certain strength to that. And I think that's probably a pretty important concept that I find kids get pretty readily. I think we're struggling to get that, but kids get it. They're like when they come to my office, they're willing to fall apart a little bit as long as they know they can pull it together walking out the door, you know?
But those days where a guy crying, like we had years and years and years and years where if a guy was crying, that was the ultimate sign of weakness and that was bad for everybody. That's let up a bit, right?
Oh, well, you think about the Tom Skilling moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many...
That
how
made me
viral,
love him more.
Yeah. Everybody, it made everybody love Tom more. Like, you know, wow, he's so passionate about what he does. And this is there's no act affiliated with it. Obviously, he is moved by this moment, you know? And I think we all were, like, completely respectful of that, right? It was kind of like he let us into his world deeply. And it was pretty cool. So, yeah, I think that's changing fast.
Do you remember when Mike Schmidt of the Phillies retired and he had a press conference and he just wept the whole time from the time they announced him until he made a speech? He just kept on crying.
Yeah.
And everybody was making fun of him. But I was going, oh, no, this guy, he won't be able to do what he loves the most playing baseball anymore. I get it. Why wouldn't you cry?
Completely reasonable reaction, right? Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't he cry? I agree completely.
But if he cried today, I think people would react differently than he did many years ago.
Probably.
And men. Men especially, and I can't speak for all men, but they do not want to show weakness. But their weakness is part of our everyday life.
Right.
And I don't know that crying necessarily denotes weakness. I think it just denotes emotional reality, you know?
I cried when Michael graduated from high school this past year. We were taking a picture, and I put it on my Facebook page, and it's me just kind of crying, not hysterically, but he was mocking me.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not sad.
Right.
I'm proud. I was just – crying is a release of an emoticon of emotions. I mean, it's just all of them coming together, and sometimes you can't hold it back.
Well, that's a really good point. Crying isn't always grief or
no.
sadness or something like that. The Skilling moment, my Springsteen moments at every single concert. these are tears of joy, right?
Because you know Dancing in the Dark is coming. You just don't know when it's coming.
Exactly. It's when it shows up, my God, who can hold it together?
Impossible.
That's the key. It's not always about sadness.
Right.
Yeah. So true. All right, let's take a quick break. Dr. John Duffy's here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, we'll get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Dr. John Duffy is with us. He is a clinical psychologist. His book, The Available Parent, is awesome, and his podcast, Undo Anxiety, is heard here at WGNplus.com, or you can find it on iTunes. Dr. Duffy, we were talking about going away to school. I will confess two sad stories to you. My sister's a little older than I am, and when she went away to U of I took a shower and I cried. We fought all the time, but the fact that she was not going to be living in our house really upset me. And then when I went away to Illinois State, as soon as my mom and sister pulled away, I had a good time that day figuring things out, but that night I was a big crybaby, and I only made it a little over a semester. I was homesick.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Homesickness is something
that sucks.
It sucks. And an awful lot of kids go through it. And as much as I've tried over 20 plus years to figure out, like, you know, what's the formula? How can I predict whether a kid is going to be homesick? It's really hard to predict. Sometimes the kids who get along best with their parents, and they miss their dog and they want to be back home with the dog. And so and some kids can predict it from 2 years coming. You know, like as sophomores in high school, they can say, I know I'm going to be homesick when I go away. And then some high school kids, even during the course of a 7-hour day, get homesick and want to get home very quickly. So it's tough to predict. It's important for parents to realize homesickness isn't terminal. It's different than it used to be because we have all these ways of keeping in touch with our kids. And my strong bias is, unless you have a remarkably compelling reason to go and pick your child up and call the semester, usually it's just kind of a bridge to get past. And once you're past the bridge and your child is kind of ensconced in life wherever they are, they do perfectly fine, you know?
Do most, if not all, schools have some sort of a program in place by which a kid can come in and say, hey, I've only been here a couple of weeks, but I'm struggling. I need to talk to somebody. They have that in place, don't they?
I do not know the school that doesn't have a community counseling center, a school counseling center somewhere on campus.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Can
so
I tell
always
you,
somebody to
if
talk to.
Texting and cell phones were around when I went away to school, I bet I would have made it. I really do, because they're
more connected.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just even if you're just like, mom, thinking about you, or what's my dog doing now?
Yep.
I think a quick picture. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A quick picture, a quick FaceTime, something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you feel like way more connected than you would have otherwise. And this isn't to judge anybody who decides, like, you know what, my kid just isn't thriving, so we're going to come home and regroup. There might be a point in the semester where you feel like, okay, I need to do that. But my bias is, don't jump the gun on that. Give it a few weeks, because some kids need some time to get acclimated. Some kids are more sensitive than others. Some kids are a little more socially reserved than others, so it's really hard to find their way. So give them a little bit of a berth to find their space and follow their lead. If they're reaching out to you, reach back and give them what they need, give them some encouragement. But if they're not reaching out, step back and let them figure it out on their own.
Yeah,
you know,
good advice.
Yeah,
solid.
I want my kids to do well. Sometimes, you know, they probably could be straight A students. They're not, and at some point, you just kind of go, "Well, they'll figure it out."
Mm-hmm.
But the two things I want are for my kids to be happy and to stay alive. So that has something to do with when you think it may be time to bring them home.
Yes, yeah. If you think that there's any threat to health or safety, then you've got to call it. In my book, you know, like, that is not a risk worth taking. There's always another semester. And I don't know if you guys saw, about a year ago, Time magazine had an article that said 30 years ago, the average time it took to finish college was about 4.1 years or so. Now it's a solid 5 years.
Wow, really?
So, yeah. So taking a gap semester, or taking a year.
Yeah.
Or a lower load. I mean, now they've
dropped
some of the requirements, like at COD, College of DuPage, 12 hours is full time.
And that's true at a lot of universities too. So, you know, like, so you can get away with taking fewer classes. And so, yeah, make those adjustments. But yeah, I mean, once health and safety becomes a risk, my strong bias is take your kids home, regroup, do not put that risk out there and, you know, risk potential regret.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
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 Linda, we're talking to Dr. John Duffy. You have a comment or question?
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. So I just dropped my son off at Colorado, at a school in Colorado just this past week. And he just seems to have an issue just connecting. He was incredibly, like, social and happy in high school and had a ton of friends. And I'm just kind of shocked by his reaction. And just, you know, I've been listening to you guys, so I'm guessing that's kind of normal. How long, you know, am I on course with that or no?
Absolutely, Linda. Especially for kids who I think were popular and the social thing came real easy in high school, I think it's real tricky to get to a college where it's like, okay, I don't know that many people. I'm not really king of this hill, so I've got to learn how to navigate that. My bias would be to support him in any way he's asking you to. And if there's any advice I would have for him that you can kind of pass along, these early couple of weeks in college, everybody's really nervous. Everybody's really anxious and nobody knows exactly what to do. They're worried about navigating the awkwardness of those initial conversations and things. So if you can get your son to be the guy who is reaching out his hand and saying, "Hi, I'm Bob. I'm from Chicago. Nice to meet you." If he starts those conversations, if he has a little pizza party in his dorm room, suddenly he will formulate friendships really, really quickly. And I find this over and over and over again with the kids I work with. So that might be a way to kind of break the mold for him a little bit there.
But it sucks being a mom at home knowing that maybe things aren't going so perfectly. I get where you're coming from, Linda.
Yeah, it's been, you know, and like I said, it's only been a week, but just, you know, the mom instincts are just, like you said, you want your kid to be happy.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Good
so
luck.
Tricky. Yeah.
Thank you.
But you are essentially, you're starting over. All through grade school and high school, you kind of knew that same group of kids and you built up kind of a backstory and all of a sudden everything's new.
Absolutely.
It's not the easiest thing in the world for some
kids. It's like getting a new job, though. It's the
yeah.
same thing,
yeah.
you know, where you are in a groove where you were and then you go to a new location and it's like, oh, crap, I got to meet people
yeah.
again. It prepares you for a new job when you go away to school.
Right, right. So it's all starting over. If you think about it from the other point of view, for kids who struggled in high school and grade school socially, there's this opportunity then to kind of change the narrative of your social life, right? And to be the guy or the girl who is kind of a little more outgoing or just finds their people, you know, because
right.
campuses tend to be bigger than high school or grade school campuses.
Right.
So there's this opportunity to find people who are more like-minded. And if you're just vigilant for that early on, you're more likely to find it.
Yep.
DrJohnDuffy.com, thank you for coming by. Your son, George, a senior year, was it just as hard to let him go back this time as it was his freshman year?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. It was a little harder.
Oh, why?
In large part because this was the last time, and my wife Julie and I were both keenly aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was tough.
It
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
I know it seems crazy.
Maybe you
but
two
it,
should hug each other.
Yeah, right.
We're going to give a big hug.
Right.
We'll
talk right.
after we're done. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Quick
Thanks,
break.
Sense.
We'll be back with the news and more things, including I'm going to the Sox game tonight, and I have some Sox information I want to share with
oh,
you.
Oh, excellent.
All right.
Very
it's
good.
Bill F. Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.